today on It's Time.
To Eber were born two sons. One was Peleg, for in his day the earth was divided. Some people believe this is where the continental drift began.
I hear the calling, it's time. It's time. It's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal. Over the mountains and over the valleys, I hear the calling.
During the millennial reign of Christ, people will live on this earth in a perfect world. A perfect world. Perfect environment. Perfect food, the curse is gone, no more thorns, the weather's going to be great, the ecosystem of the planet will be restored. And the Bible says for almost 1,000 years, people will live on this earth like that. Yay! But what's wrong with that? The Bible says Satan is loose at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and Satan goes out deceiving the nations because God gives them a choice. Did you live in this environment for the last 1,000 years because you wanted to or because you had to? And a strange thing, the Bible says, they rally against Jesus there in Jerusalem as sand is on the seashore. That's how bad it is. In other words, the darkness of men's heart, unless a man is born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. Well, this is what the problem was. They would rebel against Jesus after having lived in a perfect world. They still complain. Wow. Well, this is one of the great problems that we have. So the Antichrist, before all this happens, homogenizes the faith of the world, a chrislam, if you will, or a coexist. And you've probably seen the bumper stickers where they use all the symbols of all the religions of the world, the Jewish star and the crescent moon and all these different things, to a chrislam kind of thing where the world will worship together as one. See, this is one of the things the Antichrist knows that he needs is to unite people in faith. This is what he's going to do. Now, this is why I believe, number one, there are martyrs during the tribulation period because you cannot mix true Christianity with the religions of the world. Because the religions of the world basically say, and this is what the Antichrist is going to be saying, there is a lot of ways to God. God is how you define him. There's a lot of roads. We'll all groove together, cuckoo, ca-choo, and we'll just be there. What's wrong with that? Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Why is that important? Because we can't accept a chrislam faith. Number two, I believe this is why the church is taken out of the world, primarily before the Antichrist comes to power, is there's enough of you and me and Christians in the world today that if a man received a wound in his right eye, his hand withers, he is as dead, and then he comes back to life. The whole world is going to say, this is the Christ. Well, there's enough of you guys out there that are going to say, nah, he's a phony. He's the Antichrist. But with the church gone, there's nothing that's going to biblically identify him for what he is. And so I believe this is why the church is not here when the Antichrist comes to power, because we would identify him and there would be enough of a ruckus he would not be able to smoothly transcend in. Understanding that, the Antichrist is going to look for a global religion. Of course, we've talked about this before. 3.5 years into his reign, he declares to the world that scrap those religions. I'm God, worship me. And of course, that's the abomination which makes desolate. But it all goes back to a place where religion this deviant religions came from. This is the mystery Babylon Revelation 17 speaks of. There's an interesting book that was written about the mid-1800s called The Two Babylons. You might want to check it out sometime. But it compares a lot of the things and the ritualism that has crept into the church is really from these old Babylonian systems that have been around for a long time. So Nimrod, don't be a Nimrod head, began to be a mighty one on the earth. And it was really literally a mighty tyrant in rebellion to God is who he was. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. He was a mighty hunter for people. Some people believe, actually, there was a book that was written about this, and that he was out hunting. A boar turned on him, gored him. He died. 3 days later, he came back to life. Sound familiar? He was a mighty hunter. Some people believe that one of the reasons maybe he was able to come to power is because he protected people from the wild animals. And so they began to put more and more of their faith and trust in him, and then he began to hunt them. At the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now again, this was his kingdom, and we're going to read more about Babel when we get into chapter 11. Erech, Akkad, Calneth in the land of Shinar. This is up in the area of present-day Iraq. And so this is where these people went. And from that, he went to Assyria, built Nineveh, Rehob, Ur, and Calath. Rasrezin, between Nineveh and Calath, that's the principal city. Mirzim begot, and Mirzim, by the way, is where we get the land of Egypt, begot Lidim, these names are hard, Anahim, Habathim, you guys can say it, I'll let you do that. Perizim, Calaam, you know, we don't even, you know, and by the way, I've had people do this. I have been around people, especially Hebrews. And as it's what's kind of funny is, you know, sometimes I see people, well, no, this is the way you say it. No, you get around somebody that's really Hebrew that knows how to talk out of the back of their throat, we butcher it. It's like, you know, and I'm going, can't do that. Don't know that. In fact, it's weird. This is a dirt road, Mike's Money Trail. In the Bible, there was a bunch of people fleeing, and as they were coming over the wall, they didn't know if these guys were really part of the enemy or they were really locals that were trying to escape from the war. And so they would tell them to say a word, and if they said the word wrong, they'd kill them. Why? Because your accent gives you away. And this is one of the amazing things that, so if you can't pronounce all these, I understand, don't feel bad. Verse 15, Canaan, I can say that one. Sidon, I can say that. His firstborn, Heth, which became the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Akrites. How am I doing? We find all these that are listed. Afterward, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed. And the border of the Canaanites were from Sidon, as you go towards the Gaars, as far as Gaza, and you go towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Some of these names you recognize because of their. And actually, they didn't start in a sideways way. It's just interesting that communities take on certain things, what their forefathers allowed to go on in a community, versus dealing with it in its infancy, like Sodom and Gomorrah. But you'll even find that today. There'll be towns that have weird things about them. And I don't know if you recognize this. Some of you may. Some Southern Idaho here, there's communities you go, well, that's kind of a weird town, you know, or whatever. Well, that's not too far out of line, because we remember Jesus said, when you go into a town, they don't receive your message, shake the dust off your feet and keep walking. Why? Because where this town may reject what you have to say about the gospel, the next one will accept what you have to say. So you can't let their negativity stop you from being about your Father's business. So these were the sons according to him, verse 20, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, as in their nations. The children were born to Shem, father of the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder. And the son of Shem were Elam, Asher, Apad, Lud, and Aram. Now, Aram was the Syrians. We see some of the other ones here, the Lydians and some of these others. They were right around in the Middle East area where Israel is at today. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Apax got Salai, and Salai begot Eber. To Eber were born sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. Whoa, stop right here. Here's one. Now, a lot of these names don't maybe catch us, but there's a lot of discussion on this guy. Now, notice it says, to Eber were born two sons. One was Peleg, for in his day the earth was divided. What in the world is that? Some people believe this is where the continental drift began. And I suppose if there was an earthquake big enough to crack the one landmass into many pieces as they all began to float off, you have North America and South America, people say, you know, doesn't it look like they just kind of fit right together there, you know? Well, evidently, maybe they did at one time. And this is where the continental drift, many people believe this would have happened. It was this name, and I think his name is interesting, and I won't go into it, but you could look at that and think, if you were scared to death, what would happen to you? For in his days, the earth was divided. His brother's name was Dothan. Now, here's the point. Some people also believe this might have been during the time of Babel, when the peoples of the earth were divided up as well. So there's two possibilities on his name, where the continental drift began and or where the people, all of one language, building the Tower of Babel, were all gathered together in this one place. And of course, we have Nimrod reigning over them. God breaks it up, splits them up, and they all go off based upon their languages, as we read earlier, if you go back to verse 5. So Dothan became Ebalad, Sepheth, Heber and Jerheth, Hadadim, Uzal, Dekal. I'm going to let you work with this. Verse 30. And their dwelling place was from Mesha as you go towards Sephar, the mountains to the east. And these were the sons of Shem, according to their family, according to their languages, according to the lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations, and from these nations, where they were divided after the flood. Now the whole earth was one language, one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, where they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. Couple of major things here. One, they weren't just making mud huts. They were actually building kilns, firing bricks. They knew how to do that. Number two, it said they had asphalt for mortar, which shows that there was oil there. And again, this is where these great oil deposits have been found still to this day in that area. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top of it will reach into the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, again, operating in fear never does anything for you. And by the way, if you ever try to make a decision out of fear, it's probably the wrong one. I can attribute the decisions in my life that were wrong to fear. Whether it's the car salesman saying, You better buy this one. There's never going to be another one like it. Nah, they make new ones every day. Don't buy that. Well, I better marry Billy Bob because there'll never be another Billy Bob. Yeah, there'll be another Billy Bob. Don't allow yourself to get ripped off saying, well, this person's not really what I really wanted, but that's okay. They're close enough, and I'm afraid I won't find anybody else. If you're making that kind of a decision, run. You're not. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And if we're making decisions based in fear, friends, then we're not really trusting God. And so not to allow yourself to be moved by these kinds of things. Notice it says, we'll make a name for ourselves lest we be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. So now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. By the way, that's weird. The Bible says whatever they imagined they could do. But that doesn't mean we're in God's will. I feel bad for different faiths and religions that say, well, whatever it is you want, you just visualize it, you just blab it and grab it, you just keep speaking it into existence. Friends, that doesn't necessarily mean you're in the will of God. Because right here it says that God came and he looked and he said, these people have determined that whatever they want to do, they can do. That's what it says. In fact, if you go to the old King James, that's where it really lays it out. Whatever they imagined they could do. That doesn't mean it's of God. Remember, you're a powerful being. You were created in the image of God. But because of that, we need to be careful. That's why we need to surrender our will to God, because even though we can make things happen, it may not be the best for you in life. See, this is where we say, okay, God, I ask you to open the doors and close the doors according to your will for my life. Because I can make this happen. Listen, your plastic credit card can make a lot of things happen. You just go into debt, and here's my card, and I got whatever I want. That doesn't mean necessarily that's the best for you. Well, the same thing it is for anything else. So we want to be careful when we make decisions first. Am I making this decision out of fear? If you're making a decision out of fear, stop. Wait till you get the green light from God. Perfect love casts out all fear. The fear is gone. Number two, is God making this happen in my life, or am I making this happen in my life? Because if it's you making it happen in your life, just as we're reading about here, there's nothing that they imagine they could not do. That doesn't mean it's in God's will. Well, you know, I can make it happen. Well, I don't want to make it happen. I want God to do it. Because if God does it, I know he did it. Now, here's something else. If you strive to have something, you're going to strive to maintain it. But what God gives you is yours. See, God gives that to you. It's a gift. And this is the great problem. Because again, today with resources and credit and all these different things, well, sometimes it's just best to say, Lord, I don't know if you want me to have this or not. So I'm just going to pray and I'm going to wait and I'm going to see what you want to do in my life. Man, I'll tell you, friends, that's going to be a lot better than taking matters into your own hands and saying, I can make it happen. You can do it. This is one of the great problems with a lot of what we hear in church today. Not this one, thank God, but others that say, you know, it's motivational speaking. You can do it. I got that shovel over my shoulder and my bucket of water, and I'm going to make it happen. Be careful. Because God may not want, well, I'm claiming my Americanus Maximus. Yes, bright red, tinted glass, airco, it's mine. I took and cut a picture of it out, stuck it on my refrigerator. Every time I walk by, I look at that picture and say, that's mine. Sounds good, except one problem. Maybe God's calling you to go over to Hawaii. Or maybe God's calling you to go over to Tonga. Or some other place, what good is an Americanus Maximus going to be in a place like that? So this is why going back and saying, okay, not my will, thy will be done. God's got a better plan because God's will satisfies. And so it says, there was nothing that they imagined, literally proposed to do, will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, the very thing that they were trying to do to keep from happening. And they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. We're just going to stop there today. People say, well, what language was everybody speaking before this happened? Probably, from what we gather, Hebrew, believe it or not. Because the names, whether we go back to Noah or the other names, are all basically Hebrew names that meant something. I don't know. I've often wondered that in heaven. When we get to heaven, what language are we going to speak? Well, everybody knows we're going to speak English. Well, I don't know that. But I know whatever it is, God's going to teach us. You know, it's interesting. God confused the languages of the world and divided people. Isn't it interesting in Acts chapter 2 where God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the initial gift, now I believe there's other gifts, I don't believe everybody speaks in tongues, but in Acts chapter 2, they all spoke with tongues, and people from all over the world that were there during that time of Pentecost, when they heard, we remember that Jesus brought people back together with language, where here they were divided because of language. This morning, think about it for a minute. Who's in control? Is it God or is it you? Again, are you the one wheeling and dealing and making the deals, or is it saying, God, I surrender that to you? You see, when you give it to God, God's got the best for you. That's what you want. You want God's will. Gosh, you don't want to make a mistake. I've shared this story so many times about two girls down in front of the church one time, both crying. One because she married Billy Bob, the other one because she didn't. That's the problem. A lot of times we take matters into our own hands and we create a lot of the difficulties that God doesn't want us to have. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you don't have anyone to turn to. You're making all the mistakes on your own. You have no one to help you say, don't go down that road. That one's not a good one. That's what God will do. Not only does he save us from our sins, past, present, future, but he also guides our life. Friends, that's what you need. That's why Jesus said you must be born again, because you need that interior, that built-in guidance system that comes only from God. This morning, if you've never prayed, we're going to pray. You can pray and ask the Lord into your life and let God do what he wants to do. So if you've never prayed, maybe you're distant from God. Somebody drug you in here and there's little heel marks all the way to your chair because they drug you backwards. And you're saying, boy, God, I don't want to live the way I'm living anymore. I'm not happy. See, that's when it's time to come to Christ. Let him rebuild you. Let him restore you in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you for loving me. And I didn't deserve your love. From this day forward, I turn my life over to you. And I ask you to make me the best I can be. I want you to adopt me so I can crawl up on your lap and say, Daddy. And that I can be about doing what you want me to do every day instead of what I used to do. And so I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and his blood covered my sins. And so forgive me of everything wrong I've ever done. Now let me live in your love and in your light. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And thank you for everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for It's Time.